Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Caroline here. The episode you're about to listen to is a rerun because I'm on vacation. I'm taking a few weeks off to rest and recharge, and I'll be back on September 9th, right where you left me. While I'm gone, it would mean the world to me if you rated and reviewed G Thanks wherever it is that you listen to the show. I'll see you soon. Welcome to another episode of G Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today I am joined by the host of the podcast, Allison Rosen, is your new best friend. Sort of a little spoiler alert, it's Allison Rosen. She also co-hosts with Greg Fitzsimmons the podcast Childish, which she describes as a parenting-ish podcast. Allison, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It is nice to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. Like podcasting, huh? I mean, really, like we were talking about before we went on, a thing that some people do, and I know that you do it, people record on video while they're talking.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's sort of violent. That's just an act of violence to me.
Would you consider it as aggressive as a phone call?
Like without warning?
Yeah. You know, like you're texting someone and then suddenly your phone rings and you're like, well, that seems aggressive.
Yeah. I think it's probably both things presented without warning are similarly violent to me.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, so look, I seek consent ahead of time.
I
don't surprise people with the fact that I will be recording. For years and years, I talked about how I want to do a video component of my podcast. Mm-hmm. In fact, my show, so it's called Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. And it started, I lived in New York, and it started as a live streaming internet show. It was like a talk show I did for my living room for 3 hours every Sunday. And it was on Ustream. And there was a chat room and we would interact. And a lot of the segments that I do now on the show started then. So that was really the first incarnation of the show. And then I moved to California and brought it back as a podcast. But for a long time, I was thinking I would like to bring it back I would like to have the video up there. But mm-hmm. getting set up for video is like a whole thing. So then the pandemic started and I was recording over Zoom, and it's very easy to record the Zoom video.
Right.
So that's when I really started. But full disclosure, ahead of time, we were talking about sort of some of the pros and cons of doing it on video as well. Obviously, if you're anything other than like the most zen, non-vain person, you do have to put on makeup, mm-hmm. and that can be a real drag. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just an extra level of preparation.
Right.
You know.
Extra level of hygiene.
Extra level of hygiene.
Actually, not really.
No, not you really. You can fake that. You can fake that.
Yeah.
It's just brushing your hair and some lipstick.
Right. There was a recent episode where sometimes I get into a mood where like a thought goes through my head and it has to come out my mouth. It's a weird podcasting kind of mania where I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those days.
Right.
And so I said to my producer, Tony, I'm like, I think I forgot to put on deodorant. He's on Zoom. And he's like, you didn't have to tell me that.
Yeah, but
we're not in the same room.
But like, you know, that's a coping mechanism, right? Like the pandemic just right. makes us all feel like we're together. So we have to announce.
Exactly.
You know, like, sorry, I smell. Like, well, I can't smell you. Okay. Well, it comforts me to pretend that you could.
So can I ask you a Zoom, or no, sorry, this is a Google Hangout. Can I ask you a video question? Because I am looking at you in your background.
Yeah.
And you are in focus, but your background has like a soft blur. And yes. I've seen other people do this. Is that a setting?
It's a setting in Google Hangouts that I just figured out. So it's like you can't see the mess of my office in
details.
HD. Mm-hmm.
What do they call that? Do they call that,
I think,
like,
it literally
messy room setting?
Like, I literally think it's soft blur. There is like a hard blur where it's even blurrier than this. I'm going to see if I can get it to do it. But it's like apply visual effects. Okay, let's see. Yeah, so see, I'm about to get even blurrier. Do you see?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Now I look like
it's
I'm
like
popping
you're underwater.
Out. Yeah, I look like I'm in like a 3D movie. But then without it, it's just like a lot. You know, you can see my piles.
Right.
You can see my piles.
That, to me, just looks like someone who hosts a shopping podcast.
My piles. I know. I should just really call it, like, these are my piles with Caroline Moss. I mean, it's really, yes.
Ooh,
behind
these
the
are
scenes.
My piles. I like that. Whenever I post a photo on Instagram, I do now always pay attention to, like, someone's going to zoom in and look at the books on the bookshelf. Someone's going to zoom in and look at my bottles of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter Spray on my counter or whatever it is.
Of course.
The most embarrassing, I think, is my nightstand, because it's like, yes, that is the koala bear I've had since I was six. That is like four different kinds of lotion and also a retainer case.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some kind of embarrassing self-help book.
I know people do that just because I do that kind of stuff. So like...
Oh, I do too.
You know, I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'll zoom in.
Do you ever feel creeped out when people tell you they did that with you though?
No. I think I'm like flattered.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, oh, like, did you like it? But then I immediately go into like, well, what did you think? Like, did you like it?
Right.
Did we look in love?
Oh, like when someone tells you you were in their dream, and it's like, well, how did I look?
Yeah, you're like, well, how? Yeah, like, what did I do? Exactly. Right. How was my butt? Yeah. It doesn't creep me out. No one has ever done anything that has like said anything to me, like, oh, I found this thing out about you, and I don't really know you. I'm kind of also aware that I put a lot out there publicly, so I can't be like that weirded out if someone is listening to me say it.
There are people who I'll know in real life, and they'll say, like, I don't want you to think I'm a stalker, but I was looking at your back in the blog days. I was looking at your blog, or like, but I was listening to your show. And I'm like, no, I'm flattered by that.
Yeah, you're like, thank God.
It's just when people occasionally, someone will be like, if someone goes to great lengths to find the address of somewhere,
right,
to geolocate you, that can be a little unnerving.
That has never happened to me. And so I am appreciative of that. But yeah, I would like, if it's information I have presented in passing and someone just remembers it or holds on to it for whatever reason, I have no problem with that because I presented it. But if you are like using context clues to like piece together a piece of information I didn't outright tell you, even if I have provided the context clues, I think that's a little weird.
One of my, and this might be hyperbolic, but I think it's one of my great achievements of the pandemic. So Jackie Johnson, whom we both know, was on
course.
My podcast. You know how she was in Delaware for a while?
Yeah.
So she was in Delaware and she had to take Chooch to the vet. And it was like during hardcore lockdown. So you couldn't go into the vet. You just, you know, parked and then they would, you know, pick up your dog and then they would call you.
Right.
And she said that she talked to a vet on the phone and he sounded very hot. She had no idea what he looked like, but he sounded very hot. And this was crazy. Then Helen Hong, who's also a comedian, who's also a guest on that episode, called the vet's office. It's all on the episode, to gently inquire of a coworker, like, what's he like? Is he hot? And you could tell the person we were talking to kind of had a crush on him. So we knew his first name and we knew the name of the vet, and ended the episode. And I went and I worked my magic, which I believe everyone is capable of. Look, it's not me. Everyone's capable of this, especially women. And I found photos of him on Facebook, like, within a few minutes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What you have just described is way, I think, weirder than anything that's ever happened to me. So your baseline is low or high.
In terms of, like, I have a high creep threshold?
Yeah. Because, like, that...
Perhaps, yes.
I mean, right? Because, like, that's... If that's behavior you're engaging in, then I feel like you're more open to the creeping of others. Or maybe more empathetic to the creeping of others. Or is this not a two-way street?
Maybe I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Where it's like, when I do it, look at the achievement. I could have been a private investigator. My
sure.
God, she knows search terms well and social media and stuff. When others do it, it's like, do you mean me harm? What's happening?
Right. No, and I understand that. And then it's the same every time I watch Catfish. I'm like, I could be on the show as a detective, because they're literally like, all right, so we Googled him and the first thing that came up is he's a murderer and he's in jail and he's been messaging you from jail. It's always like, oh, the first link. Oh, we found his phone. We Googled the phone number you've been calling for 7 months and it's actually registered via the second link on Google. We figured out it was registered to this person who you went to high school with and who's
yes.
making fun of you. And I'm like, yeah, right. I could do that. I'm like, I could Google for a living.
Right.
I think Catfish also, like, for the sake of volume and quantity over quality, I think there are only a handful of those episodes where I think you truly needed a detective to figure mm-hmm. out what was going on, whereas it's just a lot of people who don't maybe want to see the truth.
Right.
And that is why I can't watch that show anymore. But, like, yeah, great Googling, Allison. Amazing job.
Thank you.
What happened?
Thank you very much.
What's the deal? Is he single? Do we know anything about him?
I mean, the thing is, it was just, does his face match his voice? Because he sounded attractive. Like, Jackie's engaged and no one had designs on this guy.
Okay.
Except
okay.
I think his coworker did. and I wish her the best.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But he was, you could see where if you knew him in person and he was charming, he was going to be attractive,
mm-hmm.
but we weren't bowled over by his photos.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
And what did the voice sound like?
I didn't hear his voice, but I think it just sounded like
hot.
I'm going to guess it sounded, confident, playful, and hot.
Good for Jackie.
I pulled those out of my ass.
That's something to do in Delaware. You know,
yeah.
that's an activity, a pandemic activity in Delaware.
Really is.
We're just exercising all of our new skills, trying to figure out if the people on the other side of the phone are hot, trying to figure
out. Speaking of pandemic, do you ever look at the health app on your iPhone?
When I'm feeling sadistic, sure.
It keeps track of your steps.
Yes.
I never looked at it until recently, and this also came up on my show, and I looked and it's like I'm averaging, I don't know, 500 something steps a day. Like, it is, I do not move. Well, then today I decided, though, like, wait a minute, though. How many times am I walking around the house, which is not that big, without my phone, though? So maybe it's truly a few more. And then I was reading about, you know, really how many is 10,000 steps,
yeah.
et cetera. Because we went to Descanso Gardens the other night and, like, walked it twice. And I was like, well, that's got to be some steps. And it was only 3,000 or some steps. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
It's wild.
So anyway, I read something said, you know, sedentary people may only take between 1,000 and 3,000 steps. And I'm like, I'm below what the internet is saying is sedentary stepwise. Now, I do ride an exercise bike, but still, I think the steps thing is a problem.
Yeah.
That I blame on the pandemic.
I definitely blame it on the pandemic. I also, like you, lived in New York, moved to Los Angeles in January 2020. Before the pandemic.
Oh my God.
Very weird.
Okay, right before.
Yeah, right before. End of January too. It was more like February 2020. So I went from walking like 5 or 6 miles a day without thinking about it just to live my
yes.
life to really not walking at all. I mean, like 500 is like a good day unless I'm going from car to where am I walking? Where am I going?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to live in like some kind of four-story walk-up that doesn't exist in
right.
L.A.
Yeah, and I think I missed that the most during the pandemic was just the idea of, like, walking for, like, great lengths of time but not having it be hiking. And that's difficult to do
yes.
in Los Angeles. There's really nowhere
mm-hmm.
to walk that isn't a hike, and I don't want to go for a hike.
I don't think I've ever gone on a hike, at least not as an adult.
How
and I'm unclear
long have you lived here?
So I was born in Northern California, grew up in Orange County.
Okay.
Went to college in Claremont, came back, lived in Costa Mesa, then lived in New York, and then came back. And I've been in LA. I came back in 2010. So, oh my God.
You've lived here for 11 years and you've never been on a hike. I find that inspiring to me because I never want to go on a hike.
I'll be your hero.
Thank you.
Look, is a hike just a walk, but there's leaves under your feet? Like, what happens on a hike?
Well, I can't believe I have to tell you, someone who's lived in LA for 11 years, this. A hike is when you go walk on the trail and you go up. And you're wearing like a matching suit, spandex, and and you take an Instagram, and it's like hot, but you have sunscreen on, and it's like dusty, but like there's nothing you can do about it. And you're just hiking. You just walk up. You walk up the hill or the mountain, and then you walk back down.
Are there great views? Is that the appeal?
I mean, you could see the same views from your car if you drive up.
I mean, it seems like fancy, uncomfortable walking.
Well, yeah, and it's harder because you're walking uphill.
Right.
So that's why I liked New York, was because I could walk for a really long time, but just flat. And it didn't have to be so serious. You know, you could just walk. And also there was always, you were always somewhere in New York. Whereas you're like, okay, in LA, I mean, there really is no, like, I'm going for a walk in the city of Los Angeles, because it's not really a city. But at least in New York, you're like, now I'm in this neighborhood. Like, oh, I know this store. Like, now I'm here. My friend lives here. This is a bar. And in LA, it's like, okay, so we just drive to this place and we hike.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds stupid. It sounds stupid. It sounds like a waste of time.
It sounds stupid.
And I don't want to do it. My husband's a big hiker. He loves it. He takes the dog, which is great. But I'm like, okay, so you, and he's like, oh, I went to this hike today. And I'm like, okay, is that different from the other hike? He's like, yeah, obviously. I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't seem fun either way. I don't like being hot. Like, I don't like being overheated.
Me neither.
I don't want to get dusty.
You know what? I've been to the LA Zoo, and that feels like a hike.
Like, have just the zoo in Griffith Park?
Yeah. It's hot and it's mostly uphill. So therefore, that's a hike. Yeah.
I don't want to hike. And I really thought, oh, when I get to LA, I'll walk even more in LA because I'll just always be hiking. And I think some people are always hiking.
Mm-hmm.
But not me. And
ABH.
Always be hiking. I don't want to. NBH, never be hiking. I don't want to do it. And I don't think I ever will. But it really went from an average of 7,000 to 9,000 steps a day. Not even counting. I was just aware that it was always counting on my phone. Living in a fourth floor walk up, going up and down a number of times, to truly the pandemic plus living in a city where you don't walk that much, to like an absolute plummet of movement.
That's what I'm realizing. I don't think I didn't see it in such stark relief until I read that thing about like sedentary people may only move. And I'm like, oh man, I'm sub sedentary. So I got to do something up my steps.
What are you into? Well, I don't even think about it as steps. I would just think about it as like, you know,
movement.
Not sedentary. Yeah. Movement. Like you said, you had an exercise bike. I do too. Do you have a Peloton? Right.
No. Well, so I have just a Schwinn exercise bike that I like, and I do it every day. My husband bought, we have two exercise bikes in our bedroom. It is ridiculous. It's not the Peloton. It's also a Schwinn. It's like the one that if you don't want to pay for the Peloton, you can get this one instead. And
it
works with everything.
Oh, we are very familiar with that.
Okay. Yeah. So he has that one, which by the way, he just now what he's doing for exercise is just jogging outside. And I'm like, then why did we buy this?
Then why do we have two bikes in the bedroom? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? That's okay. He gave it a go. And I keep thinking to myself, maybe I'll try that one. It looks way more uncomfortable. I don't know.
Just to switch things up. I mean, just to spice it up. Yeah.
He's like, why don't you come jogging with me?
No.
Now, you can imagine my feelings about jogging, given my feelings about hiking, but also, and I don't say this as a badge of honor or anything, but I've had two children.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even do jumping jacks without, urine leaking out of me. Mm-hmm. So I'm afraid if I were to jog, it'd be like a real disaster.
Let me tell you something. I haven't had any children and I pee every time I sneeze. And
is it just an age thing? And we're both super young.
I mean, I think
you're especially young.
I think I'm not like that young. I mean, I'm 34, if you think that's young or not. But I think it's just like some people have a weak pelvic floor. And it is mm-hmm. often made weaker via childbirth. But yes. I was born with this, baby. And every time I sneeze, I pee my pants. Like every time. Every single time. So I imagine that running would just add to that. So I think for the sake of my health, I can't run. I'm actually not allowed to run.
It would be unhealthy. Given that you value health, you can't run. It would be unhealthy for you to run.
As a healthy person, I'm actually forbidden from running and hiking. I am allowed to walk around my house. And that's really it. And because of that, I take this very seriously. So that's it.
I think I'm going to start walking around my neighborhood. Like you, I really like walking around stuff that's going, like not just walking around houses, that's fine, but mm-hmm. it's not, like I loved walking around New York as well. I miss it a lot. So, my husband and I used to go on long walks, not hikes, just walks. Mm-hmm. And I would always want, like, let's walk by shops and restaurants and things like that, like commerce.
Yeah, let's walk by commerce.
Yeah.
I just like seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
You see a view.
Yeah.
It's there. Great. Great view. And then you have to look at it for like the next hour while you're walking uphill. It's not right.
No.
It's just not right. I don't know.
I feel inspired by this conversation.
I'm glad. I really honestly look around and I'm like, you guys like this? Like, are you into this? No, yeah. I bet you're not. And then also in LA, the only thing to see on a hike is like an influencer who's like standing there like filming like a workout with like the view behind them, or like wearing an all white matching sports bra and spandex that are somehow like not dusty, even though we are on a dusty trail and like looking perfect and I'm dying. I don't know. It's bad. It's bad.
The sense I get, and it is insane that I've never been to Runyon. For people, this is a hyperlocal reference, but it's a very famous canyon in LA.
If you want to see the Hollywood sign, if you want to see like Lisa Rinna, then yeah, you'd go to Runyon Canyon.
The fact that I've never been there is insane. However, I am on social media, and what I've gleaned is that if I go there, I'm just going to feel bad about myself.
Right, and that, I'm telling you, that's the case, and that's why exactly. We know better. Again, not only physically healthy are we, mentally healthy, because we're not going to put ourselves in a situation where we're going to have to hike next to hot teens.
I'm not going to hike in a toxic canyon.
No, I know, I won't do it. I won't, and that's growth. And I won't do that. And I'll never do it. And I'm committing to that. And, you know, say what you will, but I think we have it actually more figured out than most.
I do too.
I think that leaves us with only one solution, which is to become mall walkers. And and now I get it. I understand why that is a thing, I think, in a lot of suburbs. Because in the cold months, I think a lot of people, like in the boomer crowd, but I'd like to usher the millennials into it, just meet at the mall and then they walk around. It's warm and it's flat and you look at the commerce.
Yeah. Maybe I should start doing that.
Maybe I'll meet you at the Westfield Mall and we can just walk.
Let's do it.
There's a dog park there. You have a dog, right?
I have a dog.
Okay. We can bring the dogs and they can run.
Is a dog park at the mall?
At the Westfield Mall, there is. Yeah,
I'm really missing out by just being.
Yeah,
shut
welcome
in
to LA. What I mean, I really. Why am I the tour guide here? I mean, truly, she's like, I won't go anywhere where you have to walk. I mean, actually, a thing I've noticed about Los Angeles is that if you can't find parking within like two blocks of a thing, people will refuse to try to look for parking on the third block. They will just like circle the two blocks and be like, sorry, like I'm going to be an hour late because there's no parking directly in front of this place. And I like refuse to walk four blocks.
Yeah. I found myself judgmental and angry at my husband recently because I felt, so we alternate who takes our kids to school. And I found when I go, because usually it's very, there's like right in front of the school, you can park for a short amount of time and just like a drop off zone.
Mm-hmm.
And usually all those spots are taken. So I just park a few blocks away and then I walk, you know, with him and I enjoy that time. But I found out my husband refuses to do that. He just circles until he can get one of those spots.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why I was so rageful about that.
I'm imagining your husband like opening the car door and like pushing your kid out and like rolling out to the school.
Yeah. Like, why are you not cherishing this sweet walk in? You can hold his hand, you can talk to him, but instead, oh, you have to get the, you know, 6 foot away spot and then you just jump out and then just get him and blah, blah, blah. You know, that was my feeling about it. He knows nothing about this.
I mean,
I hope he doesn't listen, or I hope he does.
He's actually one of my biggest listeners. He is the main supporter of this show.
Is he? He's your patron.
Yeah. He's actually at my house right now. We're about to bring him into the frame and we're going to do some marriage counseling. Yeah. I feel like I would be the person kind of in the middle. I would probably double park and piss off some people. But that's also like the New Yorker in me. You know, like, oh, I'm walking here, but I'm driving here and I don't want to walk here. Like, that's how I feel. I don't know. LA is like weird, but I enjoy being in the car sometimes. We did move here right in the beginning of the pandemic. So traffic is very new to us because for a really long time there was no traffic anywhere. And so we would go and do like Malibu. We'd get to Malibu in like 45 minutes and we live in the far east side of LA. And now we're like, oh, we could go back to that place in Malibu we went to like a year and a half ago. And it's like 2.5 hours.
Traffic has really come back with a vengeance. It's here and it's letting you know it's here.
Yeah.
Driving anywhere on a Saturday is crazy.
Anywhere and at any time. There's like not even like, at least in New York, you're like, there are times where you're not going to be able to get on the FDR or like, and that's your fault. You know, if you try to drive somewhere in New York at like 5 o'clock, you're an idiot.
I take it you had a car in New York?
I did have a car in New York. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Yeah. But we bought it. We bought it as like a mental health. So I miss New York. I mean, we'll probably go back because it's where our families are. So it just it makes sense. But yeah, I'm sure we'll get there. And 3 months in, we'll be like, what the fuck? What the fuck? I hate it here. This place fucking smells like dog piss. And our rent is too high and the roof just fell in and we'll be like, what about LA? What about, we liked LA. We loved LA and we'll be right back here in like 3 years. I don't know. I miss the food too. There are like things that, and not even, not pizza, not bagels even, but just like a good sandwich. Where do people eat sandwiches in LA? If so, where do I buy one? I'm dying for a sandwich.
I mean, I think, well, what kind of sandwich are you talking about? Cause I think, by the way, I feel like my throat just made like a series of noises that I hope the mic did not pick up.
I hope it did. I hope it did.
Did you hear that?
I didn't, but I will when we're going through it for editing, I'll make sure we'll bring up the volume. No, I'm not editing. This is real, baby. This is unmasked.
I mean, have you tried Mendocino Farms? People seem to like that.
I've heard about it, but I don't even know where it is.
Well,
and I couldn't just Google it. I mean, that would be too easy.
No, you have to exchange an egg to find out.
Exactly.
It's like 90210. I think there's one. So I'm in Burbank and there's one fairly close. So maybe Studio City or Toluca Lake. They have various locations.
I'm looking right
now. That's a sandwich that people enjoy. But okay. Are you talking about like a bodega sandwich, like that kind of situation?
I mean, that's sort of what I'm into. Like when I went home, all I wanted
was Ralph's.
The fuck is Ralph's?
Did you say where the fuck is Ralph's?
I said what the fuck is it? But
oh my god,
I got both of those questions answered.
This is
wait, the supermarket?
Like, yes, they have a deli counter.
Okay,
I think you get something similar to a bodega sandwich.
This is literally like going to UMass Amherst for college, bad experience, and and being like, where is a deli? And they were like, at the grocery. I'm so sad that you just told me to go to the grocery store for a sandwich.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sad.
I'm sorry. What the fuck are you thinking?
What are you thinking?
It's surprising because you wouldn't think Ralph's would have a good sandwich. I just think they do.
Okay. I mean, I'll try it. I'm not, my bar for a sandwich is not that high. I just really miss it being like 2 a.m. and going into a bodega and being like, I want a sandwich. And someone being like, yeah, that's what we do at 2 a.m. Here's a sandwich.
That's why, because you're wanting bodega sandwich, I'm thinking Ralph's Deli
okay.
might be able to hook you up with something similar.
Okay. I mean, I sense you getting a little defensive here. I just don't want you to feel defensive at all. I want you to feel safe. This is safe for you. I'm just surprised. It just sort of confirms my thoughts about sandwiches in LA, which is that you were like, you should try the grocery store. Because I'm down with a grocery store sandwich, but it just proves like there is no
right
like place to get the food of my favorite food, which is a sandwich.
Right. I know. But also check out Mendocino Farms.
I will.
Because they have more specialized sandwiches
okay.
than Ralph's.
Equal opportunity employer here. I will eat a sandwich from anywhere. I just, you know, I love a sandwich. I miss, I don't know. I think what I miss is not necessarily the food, but I miss 24/7 food. I like knowing mm-hmm. that if I wanted to wake up at 4 a.m. and have Chinese food, it would be available to me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even yes. have to, I wouldn't even just have one option. I could go to a number of places.
Although I remember when I moved to New York, excuse me, it was late at night and I needed like a hardware store or something. And there were none that were open. And I was like, I thought this city never sleeps. What is happening?
Yeah, it does grate on you a little bit when like Target closes, you know,
yes.
you're like, what the fuck? I saved all of my errands for 1 a.m. and now you're telling me you're closed? Like, really?
Right.
Also, like,
this is not a me problem.
Yeah. yeah. This isn't this. I might be the only one here banging on the door. But if you were open, I assume many people would be here at 1 a.m. I think it should be open at 1 a.m. But that is also, I think, chain wide, nationwide, 24/7 mm-hmm. Targets. I would love that
yeah.
for me. Anyway, the old L.A. versus New York, you know, conversation. I think we can agree that both places are pretty bad. And but one doesn't have hiking. And this week I am into a place that doesn't have hiking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm
fuck hiking.
I'm sick of East Coast pumpkin picking, apple picking pictures. It makes me jealous. I feel inferior. I'm getting upset looking at it. It's still like very hot here.
We tried to go to just a crappy local pumpkin patch yesterday.
Yeah.
And we got there. Like the kind with really depressed animals in a petting zoo.
Yeah.
And
unethical.
There's a lot of hay and yeah. you sneeze. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And we got there and the line was so long. We turned around. It was crazy.
Yeah.
People are, it's impossible to get into a shitty pumpkin patch right now.
Yeah. The only pumpkin patches I have seen in like the four blocks that I drive around in Los Angeles are like in parking lots.
It was next to a mall.
Yeah, of course it was.
In a parking lot next to a mall, yeah. And there was like a very unsafe looking bouncy castle with yeah. a slide thing.
Which if I were a parent, I would still let my kids go in it. I mean, I'm like, it's probably fine. Right? Do you let your kids go in it or not? Mm, oh, are you one of those parents who like cares about the well-being of their children? Okay, interesting.
Sometimes. It depends.
Okay.
It depends how dangerous it looks.
Okay.
I don't want to prevent them from, you know, living their life and breaking their bones as is a rite of passage. But mm-hmm. sometimes I will say that freaks me out.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's also your health insurance. So it's sort of like you have to figure out like what the bills, you know, the
right.
YOLO life or, you know, a safer route.
Yeah.
I mean, I could talk about the Christmas tree farm in the Target parking lot for days. That is the only time I don't like Target. I find it to be like, it's like super, super depressing to me. But instead, I will ask you, Allison Rosen, my new best friend,
yes.
what did you bring to G Thanks Just Bought It? What product? I know you hemmed and hawed. I know you quit.
Oh, my God.
I know how much
so
you
much
hemmed
hemming,
and you hawed.
So much hawing.
Yeah.
In fact, you mentioned Christmas trees, and I was thinking, like, why haven't I been to a Christmas tree farm? And it's because we bought a really nice fake tree. And I have judgments about fake trees. I didn't want to be a fake tree person, but having a dog and little kids who might just, like, I don't know, it just, you know what, this is not my thing though. But now this speaks to the hemming and hawing, and I'm like, I should have brought my tree.
Here's the thing,
but instead
though, let's do both. I know what you're going to talk about, and I want you to talk about it, but you have already brought up the tree, and twice now in the G-Thanks Facebook group has there been an entirely detailed and dedicated thread to Balsam Hills.
That's what our tree is.
And that's what I want to know about. I'm also a fake tree person because one year I bought a real tree and it died, and it like was like a hazard, and I had to put it out on the curb on December 17th. And you don't just get over that, you know? And I never wanted to do that again. So I bought a fake tree.
That was our last real tree. It was like, this is like some kind of acupuncture torture. Like, it's like whoever isn't – okay, I don't watch scary movies because I'm too much of a wimp. But the guy who – is the guy's name Saw?
Oh, I mean, you're asking the wrong – I assume? No,
Jigsaw,
it's not
– I think.
Jigsaw. Yeah, it's Jigsaw. It's Jigsaw.
It's like if a serial killer administered – all I'm trying to say is –
Is there
all,
a
like,
Mrs. Saw? Yeah, no, I understand.
Yes, just all the needles poking us, trying to get that tree down a flight of stairs and onto the curb. So
well,
anyway.
It changes things when you're the parent. Like when I was a kid, I loved a real tree, but I also had no responsibility to it. I didn't have to water it. I didn't have to make sure it wasn't going to be an electrical fire. I didn't have to clean up after it. And the dog and the whole thing. And yeah, a fake tree is just where it's at.
Right. So we actually have two Balsam Hill trees.
Oh my gosh.
Because we bought, I know we're crazy. first we bought like a 4-foot one that we put up on. So we have a table, and then we take like a Christmassy looking big piece of fabric and cover it and then put the tree up. And that was when we didn't want a little kid to have like to pull down ornaments and things like that.
Sure.
So we set up that one, and then we were like, I think we're ready to get a taller tree. So now we also have, I think, a 6-foot Balsam Hill tree.
Mm.
And I forget specifically which, because you know they have like 1,000 different models. I don't know if you know. They have a lot of different models.
I do know. I don't understand, you know, I don't know if I appreciate
how you choose.
I don't know what you choose.
I say just look at the catalog and look at one that looks, that appeals to your eye.
Okay.
Because they have ones that approximate all different kinds of trees. So we have pretty basic, I want to say it's like a Vermont fir, maybe. It's, and then you can choose the lights that you have on it. Our 4-foot one, I like the Balsam Hill trees a lot, but our 4-foot one, the lights stopped working on. So now we put lights on those.
Okay.
But we chose it comes with like a, if you choose the one that has a nice little remote control, and then you can put it on like just clear lights or just multicolored lights or both, which I like because that is just a lot of, I mean, that tree looks like it's aflame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
And that's fine. You might as well commit to the whole thing. Yeah, I get it.
I like that. They do have some fancy trees where like you just turn it over or something and it like unfurls.
I love that.
But the ones we have are not like that. I think that's a more new fake tree technology. The ones we have, you have to shape. And in fact, there's an insert. I'll explain that. There's an insert that comes with the tree that's like telling you how to set up your tree. And it's like, invite your friends over for a tree shaping party. I'm like, that, no one is going to fall for that. But anyway, you kind of have to sort of the stem, the whatever, tree fronds, whatever. I'm blanking on
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The branches.
The branches, that's what I'm going for. They're kind of pliable. So you have to like pull them out and then sort
And it's
of,
like an art form because you're like, well, we got to make this real. It's like this one's sticking out over here and this one's sticking out over there. I just have to tell you that when I got married, I did one DIY project. I made pom-poms and they hung in a long string with pom-poms on. I don't know what I'm saying. You don't know. I don't know. It's like it was like a long thing of pom-poms.
I can imagine it though.
Yeah, hanging down and like greens
like
and stuff.
A streamer,
yeah. But I made all the pom-poms myself and I would literally invite people over. I'm like, oh, come over for dinner. Like we'll get pizza, like whatever. And then when they were there, I'm like, actually, now that you're here, do you want to help me with? And so what was nice is that I didn't make anybody do, I didn't make, the only thing I had people do for my wedding was come to the wedding. I didn't have a bachelorette party. I didn't have a bridal shower, just with my family. I didn't have any of the pomp and circumstance. And so for that, I forced my friends to come over and I tricked them into doing crafts. So I feel like I feel like people could get away with being like, come on over and we'll play with the branches as like a, we're putting up the tree. And, you know, and maybe people will imagine, well, whatever that means to me. And maybe that's like, oh, we got the tree and it's already up and we're putting ornaments on it. But what I mean is we're coming, you're coming over and we're like doing the like twisting of the tree.
Yeah.
I feel like I've ruined my chance of doing that because of the pom-poms and it wasn't that long ago. So people remember that I tricked them into doing that. So I probably couldn't trick them with the tree. But I think if you wanted to get a tree and you needed people's help, you could definitely trick them.
Make it a tree trimming party.
Yeah.
And then when they get there, be like, oh, okay, so before we actually trim the tree, we have to shape the tree. It's only going to take, you know, 5 to 6 hours. I'm exaggerating. It does. If you want it to look nice, though, it takes does a bit. Take some time.
Yeah,
it
and just tell people, like, oh, like, what did you think tree trimming meant? Like, you're an idiot because that's not what it means. And then you make them feel bad and then give them a job. So, great.
Well, so we now have the two trees, which is pretty fun because my kids love Christmas and I love Christmas. And so we can set them up in different rooms. And the big tree, we just put non-breakable ornaments on. And the little one, that's where our breakable ornaments go because then the kids can't. Actually, now they could, but they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But
or mean mommy is going to come out. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
These trees are expensive, though.
They are.
They're expensive. But if you, you know, really they pay for themselves in, I don't know, between four and 6 years if you think about how much you normally spend on a tree.
Yeah. I mean, it's an investment.
Yes.
I just, I guess I wonder, because we do have a fake tree and it's a fake tree I bought, you know, off of, I think actually from, not Amazon, Home Depot. It's fine. Is there something about a balsam hill? You know, here's the thing. It's a thing that you bring out and you use for max like 5 weeks out of the year. Min,
right.
2.5, depending on what kind of family you are. Is there something about having a balsam hill that is like, once you do this tree, you never return to any other kind of fake tree? Is it easy to store?
Like
what makes it, what makes it so expensive? Yeah, like what, right, exactly. why is it so expensive? Is there something that like I'm not getting from my Home Depot tree? Remind yourself, I can be convinced pretty easily. So give me your pitch.
Well, let me ask you, your Home Depot tree, does it look real when you're right up next to it?
No. I mean, it looks like a fake tree. I don't know that I've ever gone to the point where I'm like, I really want you guys to think this is real.
Yes. And I don't know how a balsam tree hill looks real. You can be right next to it. And it, like I said, the catalog, it's pretty thick. And they have, I think they even give a percentage of how real it looks. So they have more inexpensive ones where when you're up close, it doesn't look real versus like the more expensive ones where it looks, I mean, it really approximates a real tree. And it lasts for a long time, minus the electrical issue, which I mentioned on the little one. And you just know, you know, hey, we've gone straight to the top of fake trees. All that being said, my mom finally got a fake tree because she also was tired of dealing with the real tree issues. And she got this very tall fake tree that came strung with lights from Costco. And it's really pretty. It definitely looks fake, but it still does everything you want out of a fake tree. So I think you can go either way. But if you want top quality, if you want it to look real, if you want it to last, if you want decent customer service, I think Balsam Hill is good.
My parents got a Costco tree as well. And theirs has fake snow on it, which I think is an interesting choice for an indoor tree. Because
if my mom's does,
it might
be flocked. Yeah,
theirs has snow. And what's so funny is my mom's always like, it looks real, right? And I'm like, it does look real, but it is also in the house. And right. I know it didn't snow in here. So there is a hint, you know, if you're paying really close attention, you know, that tree's not real. I'm actually looking at the Balsam Hill site right now, and there is a big sale, as I'm sure. Ooh. I'm sure actually the best time to get a tree would be like end of January or
January,
like,
yeah
just like a clearance or whatever. The thing that I worry about is storage, because I assume that having a Balsam Hill tree and spending this much money, you're also committing to a storage process that will preserve the lifespan of this fake tree. And right now, so, I just throw the Home Depot one literally in my backyard. Like, I take it apart and it, like, leans up against a wall for the majority of the year. I don't have room for storage.
Right. It comes in like a Balsam Hill duffel bag.
Love that.
And you just fold it down and then break it into like little, however many segments. And then it just sits in our garage. Mm. But it does take up space. Not tree size space, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that would be an issue for me. I think I'm like very like in. I'm enticed and I want to get one because you're right. It's like an investment and then you just have it for the rest of, I mean, how many more Christmases am I going to live through? 1,000, you know, and then I'll have it for all those. But then I'm like, where am I going to put it? And I know myself, right. Like I'll do something that like isn't for the sake of space,
mm-hmm.
and it'll get fucked up and it'll have been, I don't know. I'm just jealous of people who have basements, you know, and like storage. Like, damn.
Right.
I mean, you're out here with two bikes in your bedroom. That's crazy to me. You have a lot of space.
It is crazy. It's so stupid. Just like hiking.
Just like hiking.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I know. All right. Well, this has given me a lot to think about, and I'm excited because this is a big talking point in the Facebook group for this podcast.
Well, maybe I can, and then if I can figure out specifically which trees we have, I'll send that information over to you.
I'd love to know. They're, you know, they go from 5 feet to 12 feet. How fun.
I swear we have a 4 foot one. Did I make that up?
Oh, you might have. Yeah, I'm sure you didn't. Wait, actually, maybe okay. You did. I'm not going to try to make you feel better here. Let's see if you're lying to us. Hold on a second.
I swear we have a 4 foot tree.
Let's see. Height. Under 6 feet. Okay, so there are some. I'm sure there's a 4 foot tree. Why wouldn't there be? 4 feet's like pretty tall.
I might be wrong.
There's a 4.5. There's a few 4.5 foots.
That must be what it is.
Yeah, it seems like that's. So you were kind of lying to us. Okay, I'll let that slide. There are so many sales right now.
Get on it, people.
I mean, really, buy your tree. I like how they're like, this one's the most realistic looking.
Yes. See, and it's like 98% accu something or other.
Yeah, I like. Like, who's doing this testing? You know, I'm.
Santa himself.
Right. I want that job. But I guess, you know, there's really only one man for the job. Okay. So to move away from Christmas, what is the item you hemmed, hawed, and officially brought, not Christmas related, to the podcast?
The only reason I hemmed and hawed, it's not about my feelings about the product. It's that I suspected someone had already brought this to your show, but they haven't. Mm-hmm. It is Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions. This is my favorite mascara these days. I get it in it, but it's frustrating because they have cute names for the colors. So I get it in Brin, which is a rich black. I wish they just called it black. But I wore Lancome Definicils mascara exclusively for, I don't know, like, ever since I started wearing mascara until maybe last year when I started wearing Thrive Cosmetics. So that's how loyal I was to a certain mascara. Mm. So in the world of Allison Rosen, it is a big deal that I switched. This Thrive Cosmetics mascara is a tubing mascara.
What is a tubing mascara?
It like forms little, it coats the lashes and forms little tubes around them. And when you remove it, instead of like melting into just a black sludge, it comes off in like little clumps of
that
plastic
is not almost. What I thought the answer was. So that's,
am I wrong?
No. You're right. Wrong. I don't know. Okay. I really just imagine it like comes in this tube and you wow. That no, you're 100% right. I'm like, this is what I've been imagining all these years.
It forms little tubes around each lash.
Oh, I love that.
So, and it says that you can remove it with just water. I have not done that because I have other makeup that I'm removing, but it comes off. It's so much easier to remove than my previous mascaras. But I have not had any problem with it like running or anything. Like, I think another thing about tubing mascara is that it doesn't run because okay. It doesn't ever turn back into liquid.
Do you use like a primer? Or yes. You do. Is that the name of the game? Because I really rarely wear mascara because it ends up all over my face very quickly.
You should try this one. Okay. I use Lancome. I forget what it's called. It comes in a white tube, to use that word 500 times. And I think it's like Stills, which is the French word for eyelashes, I think. And I'm sure they pronounce it differently. I forget the specific name. Yeah, I put that on first. But I have been wondering how this would work if I didn't put that on. And I have a feeling it would be just as good. I put a lot of coats of mascara. So I just kind of like keep putting it on until I feel like I've achieved maximum eyelashes. I do find as well, I think part of my switching and loving this one is because I'm doing so many Zooms. Definisils like really defines and gives like a sort of, it's like a delicate but very defined look that I liked back in the day, whereas now I just want like extreme I want volume.
You want to look awake. You want to look awake on the camera. Yeah, no, I get, and that's huge
to say. I'm intrigued with what you're saying.
Yeah, like I'm paying attention, and this could not be more interesting.
Yes, I
get
more
that
of a statement.
Yeah, I love. I don't wear a ton of mascara because the taking, either it's impossible to take off and days later I'm still finding some, you know, under my eyes or whatever, or it comes off right away. I've never been able to find a happy medium.
You have got to try this one because, like I said, I've never tried to remove it exclusively with just water, but sometimes if after I take all my makeup off, I feel like there's still some on, I will just like gently sort of, you know, rub my eyelashes with water and it does come off.
Okay. Okay.
And then there's little black chunks in my sink.
That's,
but it's better than having liquid black stuff.
Well, right. I mean, now I'm so intrigued by tubing. I was just like, oh, it's either in a tube or it's in a, what else did I think mascara came in? I don't know. But again, these are the things that I'm like, I will have this. I could not possibly Google it. I'm just like, this will just be an unanswered question forever.
Right.
Like forever. I'm like, what's tubing mascara? But I couldn't be bothered to look it up. So this is very eye-opening.
Hey, that's not your job. Your job doesn't involve
that's
Googling.
Not my job. Yeah, but not really, you know, but like I'm it's not my job. It's not my job to hike and it's not my job to Google. I'm just watching Law and Order. And now I'm looking at Christmas trees online. Okay, how much does this mascara cost? Because I feel like it's expensive.
It's $24.
That's do you not think that's expensive?
Yeah. I do compare to a drugstore mascara. However, I feel like while I was looking the other way, department store mascaras just started increasing their prices because I can remember when the aforementioned Definisils was under 20. And I feel like now it's like, I'm pulling this out of my ass again, but I feel like it's like $25, even though it should be 19.
Those prices keep going up.
Yes.
Those prices keep going up. I mean, look, gas is like over $5. So of course, mascara is over 20.
Yeah. I will say it seems to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a peer-reviewed study, but you can see it's a kind of a big tube and it does seem to last a while. And sometimes they have sales, I think.
Okay. I don't really, it's not even, the thing about a product like this is if it saves me from buying four $8 mascaras that I hate, yes, I'm fine with that. But I need to know what primer to use because I think that might be the missing link for me all along.
I mean, maybe. But like I said, I feel like I could get away without it. But I'm going to look up. Okay. Look, here, you've got me Googling.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. Yeah, this is the trick. I don't have to do it. Now I have you doing it. You work for me now. That's right.
I am an employee.
You're an employee.
Let's see here. Okay. Sills Booster XL, I believe, is what it is called.
Sills Booster XL. Okay.
And yeah, Sills Booster. And by the way, do you speak French?
Fluently. No, not at all. Not at all.
Because I feel like someone who does is and I did study it, but it's just like the way I'm saying Sills is probably killing them.
Yeah.
But it's probably like Sills Booster XL Enhancing Lash Primer.
Okay.
Seal. I don't know. I forget.
Okay. Well, wee. You know? Chic C'est la vie. That's the only thing I know. That's Countess Luann's song.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, singing, I don't know what she's even singing about, but I love that song and I'm a fan. Okay, I will try it. Sometimes I use for like a big event, of which I have not gone to many in a while, obviously, but I have actually a black tie. I will have already come back from it when this episode airs, but at the time of recording, I have a black tie wedding coming up this Saturday.
I know,
in Florida.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's crazy.
There's so much going on
there. Like so much going on there. And like, but these are my friends who were supposed to get married on like March 18th, 2020. So like it's been a while and they were already there for their wedding. Like when the whole week of COVID, I just can't even imagine the hell I would have been in if that had been me. So we're going and have you ever tried Glamnetics?
Yes. Yes. I like them too.
I think I'm going to do my Glamnetics for the wedding just because it always like pops in. Like there is just, you wear drag queen lashes, it's going to pop in a picture.
Yeah.
Glamnetics is a magnet. It comes with a magnetic eyeliner and then the eyelash just sticks to them. But now I'm thinking, do I just buy the Thrive Cosmetics mascara? Do I have to get it online or can I get it somewhere in a store?
You know, I don't know.
Can you Google that for me?
Oh, yes. Let me see. I wonder if like Ulta sells it.
Well, that's. And
I
then
don't
I
think they do.
I don't know that they do. But also now Ulta is in Target, which is like a gateway drug, you know. So I could do that. But I'm thinking like maybe, you know, this is the time to test it out.
Maybe. I will say if you want, I mean, it's going to look good, but it's not going to look the same as big false eyelashes.
Okay.
The Glamnetic ones are going to definitely give you like more of a,
but it will look good.
Wait, what?
But it will look good.
It will. Both are going to look good.
Okay.
Yeah. Both will look good.
Maybe what I should do is do one Glamnetic, one Thrive, and then I can walk around the wedding and put more of attention on me and ask people what they think and do like quizzes.
Yes.
You know?
Full focus. Brides love that.
Brides do love that. She's actually newly pregnant and showing in her dress, and this is how everyone's going to find out she's pregnant.
Oh, that's exciting. That's fun.
Yeah. She's like, they're like so over this. They're like, they've also been legally married for like 4 years, and they're just like having their, it's just the whole thing. But I'll pull focus, you know.
Okay. I have some info for you.
Please.
Boss.
Please.
I typed Thrive Cosmetics into Ulta and they said, sorry, but right now we don't carry what you're looking for.
Doesn't seem like they're that sorry, but okay. Okay.
It feels insincere to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Empty apologies.
I think you do have to get it online. Yeah.
Okay. I will try to see if I can order it now. Today is Monday. If it could be here by Friday, I can make it work.
Keep me posted.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah. Do it.
I'm going to live a little.
Live a little.
And I'm going to try the primer too. I know that you say I probably won't need it, but I just, history shows, you know, history shows that I do.
I like to put the primer on and then let it dry before putting the mascara on. And I don't know, I'm unclear what you're really supposed to do. Like whether you're supposed to let it dry or put it all on when it's all kind of a little bit moist. I don't know. I would say experiment.
Well,
experiment with these.
Every time I put on makeup, I feel like I am cosplaying as someone who puts on makeup. You know, I'm like, uh-huh. And then you take the beauty. Once I saw how you're really supposed to use a beauty blender, like a beauty sponge, and I was like, huh, okay.
Are you talking about wetting it?
Yeah, like wetting it and then doing like a bounce. No, yeah, I don't wet it either. I just smear it all over my face.
Yeah. I don't like the effect I get when I wet it.
That's a cooler way of saying that you were doing it wrong the entire time. Because you're like, I don't love the aesthetic of the wet beauty blender. And I'm like, I just didn't, you know, why would I Google instructions? Why would I ask? Same. I just assume I went to college. I know how to use this. But you're supposed to you're supposed to totally wet it and then just bounce it on your face?
You wring it out and then you use that to blend the makeup for like an airbrushed finish or something.
Weird. And I'm actually just going for like smeared eighth grade face. You know, I'm just going for someone who just doesn't know how to put on makeup.
I think by not wetting it, we could just be using any old sponge. Like we're not getting the special beauty blender of it all effect.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
And that's what we paid for, right? I mean, that's the marketing I fell for and yet didn't care enough to actually figure out how to
I thought what was so special about it was the shape.
Me too.
But I guess it's more than that. It's the texture. I don't know.
Those waters run deeper. I know. What else what else haven't we like Googled in a while?
Right.
Well, this has been, pun intended, eye-opening. And I'm really excited to try it. And I'm excited to give you a review because this could either change my life or not. And, you know, I could say that about everything. But truly, this could either change my life or not.
Yeah. Or it could ruin your life. Or
it could be both. And
stakes are so high.
I don't even know which one I'm looking for. Both seem interesting. You know, both seem interesting right now. And I'm excited about the Balsam Hill Christmas tree.
Me too.
Good for you. Will you take pictures when they're up and show them to us? Okay.
Absolutely.
And before we go, my last question for you is, when do you put your Christmas trees up?
If it were up to me, they would be, I would put them up now.
Yeah.
But I think, like, my husband does the heavy lifting. He's the one who jogs and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, literally the heavy lifting of these trees. So I imagine we will put them up maybe like, are we going to wait till after Thanksgiving? I don't want to. So I'm going to say like, I don't know, maybe like mid-November.
I love that. First of all, I love that. Mine would also be up now. November 1st is when I put out the one that I put on my deck, like an outdoor tree. But I really like that when you were growing up, when did your parents put up the tree?
I don't feel like I didn't have such a sense of time then, but I, you know, probably maybe like early December.
Yeah. My family was very much a mid-December family and still is. Like
maybe we were mid-December actually.
I talked to my mom in like the middle of December, like December 11th. She's like, oh, we're going to get the tree this weekend. I'm like, on December 16th? Don't you want to enjoy it? I'm very much like Thanksgiving.
Oh, my mom is too. Yeah.
It's nice. It's nice. And I think, you know, the more happiness, the better. So I appreciate that you are feeling safe to tell us that mid-November your tree is going out. Because I believe mine will too. And I've already started lighting the balsam tree candles.
Yes.
Those have been going for a while. Forget Halloween. Let's move right into November and December for me.
Yeah. I need to get some Christmassy smelling candles. I've got a couple that are like vaguely Christmassy, but they don't jump out at you as Christmassy.
Would you like a recommendation?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thymes, Thymes, Fraser Fir is the best pine smell.
Okay.
Especially as a compliment to your fake tree, it will sort of, I think, marry the scent with the look quite well.
Thank you. Great.
Nest candles, birch wood is for me a close second in the pine. Or sorry, I think it's either pine or birchwood pine. A close second for me in the pine department. Nest holiday candle is it's like cinnamony, citrusy, vanilla-y. Just kind of like a nice cidery smell.
That sounds good.
But Thymes is the one that, like, if you love the smell of a Christmas tree, that's where to go.
I'm going to buy that as soon as we stop talking to each other.
You definitely should.
Like right now.
Just do it. Like, hang up now. And then if you're looking, because, okay, so I didn't, actually, do you have a minute? Can I tell you a story?
Yes. Yeah.
So a listener of the podcast messaged me once, and she was, because I had been talking about a very deranged Facebook group that I'm in, because one of my favorite things to do is join Facebook groups and then just watch what happens mm-hmm. live.
Yeah.
I love drama, and you can get so much of it in Facebook groups. So a friend of mine, a listener, now a friend of mine, was like, oh, if you're not in this group, like, bleep, like, I don't want to, like, shout it out, but I'll say it to mm-hmm. you. You have to join. And basically the group is all about Bath and Body Works candles. And it is wonderful. And the women in it are crazy for candles. And I was in there as a observer. And then before I knew it, there were Bath and Body Works boxes showing up to my house. I was like buying Bath and Body Works candles.
Oh, they turned you.
They had some. They do. Right. They do. I was influenced. I was like, wow, that's a really good sale. So they'll have these big, like, buy two, get two sales on their big candles. And I find that if you don't want to burn the fancy, expensive candle,
right,
and Times is probably, like, in the $40 to $60 range, and sometimes you feel like, we got to save that for, like,
yeah,
the big show.
Right.
Bath and Body Works has a fresh balsam
candle. Ooh, I'm going to write that down.
That is $25, not on sale, but just wait for a sale. They come every week.
Bath and Body Works, do they still have stores?
Oh, yeah.
They're a very, like, 90s thing to me. And
yeah, me too. You know what?
I have no idea.
You're me in July. And now I'm a spokesperson. In July, I'm like, what? There's a whole group dedicated to Bath and Body Works candles hose? And now I'm like, oh, another fact about Bath and Body Works. Here's some facts. Oh, yeah. They have outlets. They have stores. They have coupons. They have a pretty good rewards program. Yeah, welcome.
I want to be part of this group.
Welcome. I'm going to invite you. And anyone listening, contact me directly, because I don't want to – I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum. I just love that there is a devoted Facebook community to candles. And guess what?
And they get in fights?
And no, they don't get in fights. It's just like – it's just like that's where their emotions – it's like – you know, it's like, I smelled this candle and smelled like shit and I hate it. And then someone's like, I love that candle. Very, very respectful, just very one track minded. We're only talking about, there's no, like, not candle related questions allowed. It's like, we are talking about candles.
I need to be a part of
this. I'm going to invite you. And if anyone else would like an invite, I just want to make sure that you're not coming in there to be rude, because you, like me, will be a silent observer, and then you'll be buying $100 worth of fresh balsam candles. But they have good sales. So don't buy Bath and Body Works until they do a sale. But that is a good Christmas smell. And I'll invite you to the Facebook group. Wow. I'm very happy about this conversation. I feel like we went a million places.
Yes, we did.
And yeah, I'm pumped. And now I know you live in Los Angeles too. So now I know one more person in LA.
It's all coming together for you.
I can't wait to not hike. I can't wait to not hike with you. I can't wait to meet up at the Westfield Mall and not hike.
That's right.
Allison, tell everyone where they can listen to your shows and where they can follow you online.
You can listen to Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend and Childish wherever you get podcasts. Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend comes out Mondays and Thursdays, and Childish comes out every other Wednesday. And please follow me on social media at Allison Rosen on Twitter and Instagram.
Nice. Wonderful. Okay. Well, you guys will link to everything we talked about as always. I will not link to the candles group. If you want that, you have to seek me out on your own. So I know you're serious. And other than that, I hope this was a very fun episode to listen to. It was a fun episode for us to record. And if you know where I can get a good sandwich in Los Angeles, please be in touch. See you guys next week for another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It. Okay, excellent.
Thank you so much. That was really fun.
I didn't even thank you for coming and we were recording. I'm sorry. I usually do that. But
So questions.